I'd like to bring your attention to today's bulletin for our devotional this morning. The article written on the right-hand page, the bottom left-hand side, by Brother Gabe Stonecker, titled, Lord, Keep Our Eyes and Hearts on You. Gabe writes, there's a song in our hymn book that says, Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Oh, how true that is. When our hearts are sincerely, fervently looking to Christ, we see a God who truly is God. We see a purpose that is ordered and sure. We see a salvation that is forever settled in heaven. And we see an eternal home that is so much better than the pilgrimage we're passing through now. We see a husband who loves us and gave himself for us. We see a friend that will stick close to us, closer to us than a brother. We see a shepherd who will watch over our every move, keeping his all-seeing eye on everything concerning us. We see safety. We see mercy. We see grace. We see help in our time of need. Every time we look to Christ, we see lasting joy. We see contentment. We see perfect peace and rest. The great blessing that God's people have on this earth is the God-given ability to look to Christ. That will forever be our blessing. The more we can look to Him, the more joy we will have. The more contentment we will have. The more peace we will have, and the more rest we will have. Lord, keep our eyes and our hearts on You. Gabe Stonecker. I'd like to ask you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8, please. Like I was mentioning a moment ago, the gospel is a simple message. Too many men stand before too many people and want to make it complicated. I will forever remember Daryl for that very reason. Thank you, Lord, as he would say, for bringing a message through that man that so simple even I can understand it. My day started at 2:30 this morning. When Daryl had passed, I got a text from his son, Cody, and so I jumped in the car and rode up there and spent some time with Marvin and Cody. Normally I would get up about 4 o'clock in the morning and put together a message, but this morning all I could think of was these words that we read here in Luke. I brought this message once before, many years back. This morning I just want to bring out some truths as we go through these words. If you're in the book of Luke, would you look with me at verse 22? Now it came to pass on a certain day. that he, our Lord Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples. And I want to stop there for just a moment. We sing the song, He is Lord of all. You see, as Lord of all, everything that comes to pass is by his providential means. I too, like many, was pretty distressed about the situation our country has gotten itself into over the last week. The Bible study Mike Loveless brought before us this morning is recorded. And I cannot recommend enough to everyone here to hear what the Lord laid on this man's heart. Everything comes to pass exactly how our Lord has determined it to be. He's Lord of all. Everything that was created for one reason, so that our Savior would be glorified in it. And he's glorified by being merciful. He delights in mercy. When it says here, it came to pass on a certain day, it's exactly like he said in the scripture where he's talking about the lady at the well. He said to his disciples, I must go through Samaria. He must go through everywhere one of his children are until the last one is brought out of darkness. He must. They were all given to him before the world began. Isn't that what Scripture says? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's not a maybe. That's not a might. Our Lord doesn't work with maybes or mights. He's Lord of everything. Say, John, you might be taking that a little too far. Really, our Lord takes it to this point. He says, every hair on your head is numbered, and I know what it is. It includes all the hair that falls out each day. That's a detail that we can't even wrap our minds around, isn't it? That's pretty detailed. Why? Because he's in control of it. What he has purposed shall come about. It shall come to pass. On that certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, hear this now, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ came to this world with a specific purpose, and that was to go a certain place. And each place that he went to was purpose, and he would go there no matter what. And this is exactly what we're seeing here. Let us go over onto the other side of the lake. Why? Well, let's read on. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Oh, do we not see the storms of this world around us? The storms of our own lives. What's the worst sin that troubles us the most? Is it not the sin of pride? Is it not the one sin that is always before us? The sin of pride. Pride makes us do all kinds of things. Makes us think we're better than others. Makes us look upon others. Why is that person that way? The wind on the lake was so boisterous that it filled the ship with water, and they were in jeopardy. And just like all things, every time somebody gets in jeopardy, they're down in the foxhole crying out, Lord, save me. And they awoke him. In verse 24, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. He is Lord of all. When our Lord shows us the raging waters of our lives, he shows us his authority over those very things and reveals his Son to us with a new heart. Cutting away that old stony heart that we were born with, that old nature that said, I will not let this man rule over me. And he who ruled over me even when I didn't want him reveals himself to me. He arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Oh, what a Lord we serve. I like the fact that my God is sovereign over everything, because I know that John Reeves would run. I know what it was when I was in the darkness, because now the light is on and I see what my heart was at one time. Do you see the heart that you once had? The heart that you came into this world with? If you do, then now do you see the heart that the Lord has given you to look to him, as Gabe Stonecker pointed out to us? Look to our Lord and Savior for peace, for mercy, for grace. Oh, Father, reveal yourself unto us. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he had went forth, our Lord and Savior, to land, there met him out of the city a certain man. Isn't it cool to be a certain one? Especially a certain one to the Lord? Oh, when I think of that very thing and how the Lord came to me. Can you remember the time when he came to you? Remember when the first time you heard God's gospel and you said, oh, that makes more sense than anything I've ever heard out of anybody else's mouth anywhere. The Lord revealing his truth to you for the first time? Oh. A certain man, verse 27, which had devils. Long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. You see, that's where each and every one of God's children live, in the tombs. We've been walking in the valley of the shadow of death ever since the Lord has brought us into this world. Daryl has finally left that valley of the shadow of death, and he stands in the light of our Savior today. Oh, how I want and look forward to that day. When I brought this message before, it was the first time I'd preached before Don Fortner. And I don't know if I can explain this to you, but that was about the most intimidating thing I've ever been in. Don't get me wrong, Don Fortner is no more a man than any one of us. He's a man saved by grace, a sinner saved by grace. But I have great reverence for that man because of what the Lord has used him for. And the experience and the knowledge that he has is hundredfold of anything I will ever have. So to stand before him in preaching was quite intimidating. And when I brought out about how one of my points of this man that we're talking about here in Scripture that the Lord is bringing out, this man who didn't wear clothes, he lived in the tombs, and I said, you know, one of the points here is this guy is flat out crazy. That's the only time I've ever heard Don Fortner laugh in the middle of a message. He never said nothing to me about it. I don't know if it was good or bad, but he burst out laughing. He says, just, you'd have to be there, I guess. But this man was crazy. He was flat out insane, you might think, but folks, that's exactly where we are when we, before the Lord calls us, before the Lord gives us a knowledge of who He is. We're flat out crazy thinking that we are gods. How many of you have ever created anything? Okay, so we might put something together that's already been created, and we might make something of that. But how many have created something out of nothing? That's what God does. He created the worlds. He put them in place so that they would go around each other perfectly, and that there would be one world with the atmosphere and all the other stuff on it that man might need to live on. And then He put man on that world. Isn't that wonderful? You know, Jesus Christ is the very one who made that world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made that He didn't make. And then in verse 14 of John 1, we read this, and the Word was made flesh. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, created everything that is. He's God. He's the very God. Continuing on in verse 28, and when he saw Jesus, this one who was crazy, this one who went through the tombs naked, he cried out and fell down before him and in a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the God the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound in chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Folks, our sin is what has dominion over us. The very sin that we have when we come into this world, we come into this world dead in trespasses and sin. It has dominion over us. It's what rules the will of man. There's no such thing as free will. We are bound by our nature. An example of that is given in Scripture, where if you try to feed a deer... No, I'm sorry, that wasn't in Scripture. Scripture actually says you can't change the stripes on a zebra. You know what I'm saying? I'm confusing myself here. Somehow I got off the subject there, and it's all in my notes. It's right there. You can't change the nature of the beast. If you take a deer and you put a piece of red, bloody meat in front of it, it'll cower back away from it because that's its nature. But if you take that same piece of meat and put it in front of a lion, the lion will devour it. That's the nature. We can't change our nature. Only God can do that. Oftentimes, it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven by the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" Verse 30. And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. takes God Almighty to remove that devil from us. And that's exactly what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago. His blood covered those sins forever. And when they had then went the devils out of the man, verse 33, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down to a steep place into the lake and were choked. Verse 34, and when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And then they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus. And here's my point for this morning. I've titled my message, In His Right Mind. They found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Brother Mike Loveless brought out how, you know, I'm going to add a little bit to it. There's two sides to what's going on in our world today. You have those who are very happy about something that has happened, and you have those that are very sad. And if you stop and consider that on both sides, what is causing each of the emotions from both sides? It's all of the information that's coming in from the world. And the world doesn't look upon God Almighty. They're just like that man was, going through the valley of the shadow of death, living in the tombs, living a lie. This man is found in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And this is where all of God's children will be brought to. Each and every one who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one for whom he went to that cross and died, each and every one for whom his blood was shed, the perfect blood of Christ, will come to our Lord and be found at his feet in their right mind, looking to the only truth that we will ever find. I thought about this as Mike was bringing this out. You know, I have every reason to go back to work on Monday just as happy as can be, even though I lost. Because it doesn't matter what I think of what happened. It's all in my Lord's hands. We began this message by saying he is Lord of all. Is that correct? Well, that means he's Lord of what just happened. And who am I? Who am I to think that what just happened isn't perfect according to his purpose? That makes life a whole lot easier now. That makes me a whole lot happier just knowing that. That's what this man was dealing with right now. He's at the feet of Jesus, seeing the truth of the Lord. The Lord has revealed himself to him. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ is God. And his salvation is perfect. And our salvation is in him, not in anything that we can do. I'm almost without words for that. I heard that come out of the voice of our dear brother when he called me on the phone and he said these words to me. He said, John. And it was hard to hear him because he was, you know, his voice, his vocal box had been affected by the cancer to a certain degree. He said, John, I'm going home and I'm going to be perfect. That's this man. Folks, we can feel that way today. Despite all the stuff that's going on around us in the world, despite whatever disappointment we might have in the way the world is reacting to things, we can feel perfect. We can feel at peace at the feet of our Savior. Turn from the flesh. Turn from what it is you think is within inside of you, because there is nothing inside of you that you can count on. There's no good in us. There's no good in this flesh. Well, John, you're so down on yourself. That's all right. I got the Lord dwelling in me, in my heart, in my spirit. That's all I need. You can think of whatever you want of my flesh. I got the Lord hanging out with me in my heart, in my spirit. And I got all the peace I need in the world right there. Only a man with the peace of God would say, I'm going home and I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to see the Lord face to face. Face to face. I found him. I found him that day to be at the feet of our Savior in his right mind. That's how simple the gospel is. Have you ever looked at the Word of God and thought to yourself, how is it people can believe that other stuff when it says right there, it says right here in God's Word, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. How can they believe in all that other stuff about the Lord loving all the whole world and all it is up to you to make a decision to this? How can they believe that when the Lord's word says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy? Have you ever looked at Scripture and wondered that? It seems so simple to me. Because Christ has revealed himself to me, just as he did that man who was wandering around in the tombs. Has the Lord revealed himself to you? And showing you the simplicity of the gospel, the doctrine of Christ. If he has, there's a day coming when we're all going to go through that door marked death. And when that day comes, we're all going to stand before him in judgment. Will you be standing in your own righteousness? Will you be standing on something you have done? Lord, I have done many good things in this world. Lord, I have cast out many devils in your name. Our Lord says this in his word. He says, I will tell them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I have never known you. Or will you be standing in the righteousness of Christ? Only those who have no righteousness of their own and know it will be standing in the righteousness of Christ. And if we are, we'll be standing face to face with the very one who has saved us, called us, redeemed us, sanctified us, all those wonderful things that he does for his people. I'd like to sing that song as our closing hymn today. You have a